Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Blintfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturate, creator of Pro Metabolic Food Supplements and Seriously Saturated Skincare. And today I am joined by Kitty. Kitty Marteau. Welcome
Here
back.
We are. Meow, meow.
Yeah. The third time I think you've been on the podcast.
I think so.
Yeah. It's so funny whenever I speak. I'm like, hi, Kitty.
Hi, Kitty. What a great name. Thanks for having me back, Kitty.
Yeah.
So you're the OG Kitty.
Oh, well, you're the OG Kitty. You're older than me. So Kitty's...
No, OG. I mean, you were born Kitty. I was born Catalina.
Oh, okay. All right. Then I am the OG. Yeah, I am. Kitty is what is on my birth certificate. Yeah. So, because I was thinking about age. Kitty's 54. Yeah. 54?
I am.
And I'm 44. Yes. So she's 10 years older than me.
Wow. Yeah. I'm like your big sister.
I know. Kitty. And Kitty's done our program. I've had her on the podcast to talk about... progesterone. She is, well, I don't know who you are for on years now. Are you
the marketing social outreach education?
Yeah. And she's also the healthy gut girl, and she runs the estrogen dominance group, which is massive.
Yeah.
I often send people there when they're asking me about progesterone dosage. I'm like, oh, just go into Kitty's group if they're not working with us, if they're not clients.
But
she's very, very knowledgeable on all things progesterone. But she's also, got a great backstory too. And if you listen to the earlier podcasts, like so many of the women that I work with and me, like, has done a lot of crazy diets and protocols, hey, and fasting and the greens. And when did you stumble across or come across the pro-metabolic stuff and Ray Pete?
Well, not only a lot of diets and cleanses and all the, you know, quick fix type of things, but also the just being ill, you know, being really, really sick. Like, a lot of people wonder, like, you know, how is this person relatable to me? I'm suffering, I'm debilitated, I'm this or that. I was all those things, you know. In fact, a lot of women come into the group and they're like, you know, we're like, oh, read the guides, read through the files, read through the featured posts. And they're like, I can't, you don't understand that I am bedridden, or you don't understand how hard it is for me with the brain fog. And I'm like, sweetheart, we've got women in the group moderating from their beds because they are so debilitated and working hard, but also trying to help, you know. It's like, we all know, all of us are in the group because we've been through so much. And yeah, I couldn't hold down a job. I was so debilitated. So by hormonal issues and gut health issues and inflammatory issues and autoimmune issues. So I came across PD stuff. I'm going to say now it's been 5 years. I mean, I had heard about Ray Pete through my mentor and Katarina Dalton and all the people, John Lee, who kind of feed into that metabolic approach. And so I knew about them, but I didn't know, you know? Mm. And so it was Constantine who, Kennard Agelis, who was a 23-year-old kid who we kind of hit it off because he followed me on Instagram because I was really supporting the trucker strike back during COVID. And we just had the same political outlooks and the same feelings about COVID. And we just hit it off. 23-year-old kid who was in law school. Mm-hmm. And he started telling me about the pro metabolic community. I think the first person he mentioned to me was Kate Deering and then Georgie Dinkoff. And then he said, look, I know these people. I'll get you on their show. I'll get them on your show. And he totally helped me. He helped me get Kate. He helped me get Georgie. Mm. And then I started to implement. He kind of coached me even. He was telling me how to do the whole thyroid stuff. And it was incredible. He really changed my life. And now he's about to take his bar and get married. And it's so funny. He's a little genius, this kid. Not a kid anymore. But and then I found you through Kate, and it just snowballed into all of this amazing information that really was like the key, the thing I had been missing. You know, it was like I was looking at this big, huge puzzle, And the one thing that needed to be addressed was ultimately my metabolism. And yeah, so it's cool.
Yeah, it's and I feel like just probably because of a lot of the women that we attract into our like we work with women of all ages. You know, I was on a call with a lady in our group coaching, and she had endometriosis, and she was saying she's been in our program for a while now. And she's like, I got my period the other day, and I didn't even know it was coming. And she's like, that's unheard of for me. You know, so I think
Nice.
it's like, I know. Be interesting to get your opinion on this, but I feel like because I had really shit cycles when I was younger, you know, because I did this, I did all the crazy diets up until I was like 34. So I had heavy and painful cycles. I had a miscarriage. Like they did a D&C and they found polyps, and you know, they're like, oh, you've got precancerous cells on your cervix, and you know, just had all of the, you know, PMS. I took the pill for years. And you know, like then you've got the older women, and this it starts to appear as perimenopausal and menopausal symptoms. And I don't think anyone realizes that, like you said, it's a reflection of your metabolic health and your metabolism. It's not like your hormones are dictated, not solely by that, but you know, it's just it's stress, undernourishment, you know, emotional stress. You know, a lot of women overtrain, but at a, I guess at a simple level, it's stress in all these different forms. And you know, you mentioned that John Lee, and he's got a great book. I don't agree with everything in his book, do you? Like he talks a lot, yeah, but he got, I think the whole, a lot of what he talks about is really good. And he, I think it's in his book, but he talked about how like non-Western countries, and I think I was looking at it the other day, they don't experience the same like perimenopausal and menopausal symptoms as we do because it's of how we live our lives. You know, like
Yeah,
we've
the
all,
stressors.
yeah, and all the women are doing all these fucking crazy diets, you know, to try and lose weight and cutting carbs and drastically cutting calories and sugar and nutrients and drinking too much. And then all the like shit that we slather on our bodies, you know, all the chemicals and things. And then and like just emotional stress. Like so many of the women in my program, like we do these calls with Greta every month and they get on and it just blows my mind at how much just shit women are going through, you know? And then we wonder why, like, we're struggling through perimenopause and menopause. Because some of my
I
doctor's
mean,
telling you, oh, it's because you're low estrogen. Oh, you just need to take more estrogen, you know, that's the, yeah.
I mean, even the progesterone, like I already knew about progesterone. I started my group 10 years ago, so I was already using progesterone when I started my group. That's why I started it. But I was still suffering. So a lot of women will say, they'll come into the group and they'll say, okay, I'm on 700 milligrams of progesterone. What am I doing wrong? What's going on? I'm not sleeping through the night. I'm eating healthy. And then you dig into what that looks like and you're like, oh, okay, well, the progesterone is not going to do it all for you. And it wasn't doing it all for me. You know, it helped me tremendously because I had the polyps and the cysts. I had the, you know, clotting periods and all the things and bleeding for an entire month at a time and miscarriages and all of it. And the progesterone, tremendous help. I had, granted, had been working on gut health. I was already healthy gut girl. So I had been working on all of that already. But I still, there still was something missing. I wasn't getting underneath it all. And the stressors, yeah, like you said, you know, there's so many. There's the obvious ones like emotional daily stress. There's, you know, PTSD and somatic stress from your past. And then there's financial stressors, relationship stressors. But then there's the other stressors like, you know, what are you exposed to every day? You know, screen time. You know, we were not designed to see what's going to see war in another part of the world. And from our phone while we're in bed, thinking that we're relaxing and decompressing with a glass of wine. We're not supposed to see child trafficking on our screens in our hand, watching the turmoil of the whole world. We just weren't designed to handle that. And so we're bombarded by it. And then add the crazy propaganda of us being divided from one another, you know, hate, being told who to hate, and, you know, all of that. Those are incredible stressors. We don't realize it, but it's like niggling at the back of your, your nervous system. And then there's infection and mold and parasites and, pollution and glyphosate and our food. So we are bombarded with stress. And so, yeah. And then, like you mentioned, the birth control pill, medicated birth control in all its forms, contributing to women's health at such an early, early age, that time when we're meant to have really balanced high levels of all our hormones in balance. And it just, you drop in that medicated birth control and it completely disrupts your HPA access, totally intercepts the communication between your pituitaries and your ovaries. Done, gone. You are now in medicated menopause. And then we're supposed to what? Have healthy babies? We're supposed to what? Get a job and be normal? We can't. It just completely messes up our circuit board as a woman,
And then I think one of the biggest things that we talk about all the time is just nourishment and actually eating enough fucking food. It's like even when you came into our program, remember you saying to me like, oh, Kitty, I'm struggling to eat all the food. Like, I just don't think we realize. Like, so they say, well, I'm eating healthy. Well, what does that even mean? And I think a lot of women's definition of healthy, so like before I found Emma and Ray and, my definition of healthy was – protein powder and eggs, whites and oats for breakfast, or scrambled eggs, whites with spinach. You know, I cut all dairy out, cut all sugar out, cut all fruit out, just ate blueberries, lean meats, lots of green salads, almond milk, nut milk, almond milk, soy milk. What else did I eat? Lots of white fish. Not saying white fish is anything, nothing wrong with these. Not saying you should never eat these foods, but it was all like no dairy, no fruit, no sugar. I really avoided a lot of red meat, and it's like, well, heaps of salads, heaps of green veggies, so low energy.
Yeah.
Skipped breakfast, fasted till lunchtime, lots of black coffee, and it's like, well, that's actually not healthy.
Yeah. All those things that I just mentioned, it's a pretty bleak picture, but what you're saying, so then there's women out there who experience all the things that I just mentioned as far as stressors are concerned, including the pill. But what makes that person more resilient than me? And we, when we break that down, it comes down to me under eating from the word go, literally being underfed from babyhood, poorly fed. Poorly, poor nutrient, the foods had terrible quality, low nutrition. And that, so that's probably the difference, you have, and then your startup in life, I was quite sick just when I was born. So I have, I didn't have the leg up that a normal child would have. So there's all these reasons, but the thing that really keeps, can help you to face those challenges better is to be fueled. Yeah. And I were talking, well, you and I were talking before about stressors and relationships. And I really believe I did this couples hormone reset course just now. And actually we finished tomorrow is our last day. And I was saying, everyone has to face life. Let's look at a couple that has kids that, the kids are maybe leaving the home and, you've got bills to pay, you've got finances, you just put your kids in college maybe, or maybe you didn't have money to do that. And the stressors. And now we're losing connection with our partner. We're losing intimacy with our partner. Why? And you can dig into that. You can do all the talk therapy you want, like we were saying, but if you don't have the energy to just face your partner and have healthy negotiative conversations, that talk therapy is not going to help. You have to have energy. You have to be fueled properly. You have to be functioning well metabolically, or it's an uphill battle,
Oh, totally. Yeah, I know. It's and it's so amazing, like when women come into our program, because we, get them to track their food and macros and start incorporating, fruits and root vegetables and eggs and red meat and seafood and liver, all of the foods that we talk about. And it's just blows my mind. Like still, I got a message. Where is it? She actually did our challenge and she messaged me. I just want to read it to you because it just, and it's actually, it is so simple too, like it doesn't have to be that difficult. But she messaged me, I signed up for the coaching program. I'm so excited to keep going. My compliance hasn't been perfect on the food, but overall, I'm feeling so much better in capitals than I did a month ago when I started. To say this has been life-changing would be an understatement. Seems like a month of this. My pants are finally starting to feel tad looser, and I can tell I'm a lot stronger. Also, I'm way more patient with my kids and feel less stressed. That's just from eating enough fucking food for a month.
Isn't that wild? It's, and you know what I'm finding, because I did your program and and same, I felt it was life-changing was an understatement for sure. But I still fall back into patterns.
Oh,
You know, I
yeah.
fall back into, especially with stress, I fall back into patterns, and then I realize, you know, maybe even a couple of days later, I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't even eat 1500 calories today. And no wonder I didn't sleep last night. No wonder I, you know, got so upset by whatever happened in the group today. No wonder it affected me that way. It's and that's why, because how are you supposed to do anything if you don't have the energy to do it? And so your body's like, well, let's use the energy we do have. Adrenaline, hop in the boat. And you don't realize it. And you're like, oh, I'm running on adrenaline. You know, my hands are clammy. Like I told you this morning, I got up late and it's been a kind of a crazy morning. And I had a glass of juice and it's already going to be 10 o'clock my time. And I can tell my hands are totally, totally clammy. My body temperature is probably very low. And so it's so obvious to me now. Back then, not so much, but now that I've done your program and I've just invested in this metabolic way of being, when I messed up, when I screwed up, and how easy it is to get back on.
Totally. And you're right. And even, I mean, I've been doing this for so long. And there's even occasions when because I am most of the time conscious of really prepping enough, because I obviously I train hard as well. So if you're an athlete, you need to really be well fueled, and we work a lot. And so I have to be very conscious of eating enough, because otherwise I it really affects my sleep too and my cycle. And the week before last, because we've been working with this new business coach, and it's been really challenging and pushing me, and I've had extra workload, and I just didn't prep enough food on the weekend. I was a bit slack, and it's not as like easy here to get food in Thailand. Like, you got to go down on the bloody bikes, and anyway, it's, like in Australia, you just get everything delivered. So anyway, I didn't prep enough food, and then I underate for a week. And I just didn't sleep very well, and I was tired, and I skipped a training session. I didn't get as many walks in, and I got to Friday night, and I haven't done this for a long time. I was like, oh, because I was feeling stressed. I'm like, I'm just gonna get a bottle of wine. I haven't done that for like years. And also too, because my blood sugar was low, like craving that wine. So I got this Chandon. I love Chandon, and I drank probably about 2/3 of it and then threw the rest away. But then I slept like shit, obviously, and then went to try and train the next day. Not a good session. And then I was like, okay, like it's all right, like just prep your fucking food again, do up a meal
But
plan,
did you
make
enjoy drinking it?
I did at the time. Yeah, it was good. But then afterwards I was like,
Why did I
I
do
had
that?
yeah, I'd had a really shitty sleep, but then I was like, it's fine. All you need to do is make sure you actually prep enough food and eat enough food. And so I just made sure I did enough food prep on the weekend and got really organized. And then the next week I was sweet. I had heaps of energy. My mood was good. I slept through the night. My training was awesome. It's just
Amazing, yeah.
blows my mind at the difference that it makes, you know? And I mean, even a client messaged me today, and she's a beautiful young girl, and she had really bad, horrendous cycle issues, and she ended up having to have a hysterectomy. She had a hysterectomy. Anyway, she's come back in the program, and she's recovering now. And she has, I think, two, like, I think there's two types of women that come into the program, and you probably see this. One's like you and I, who are really the restrictors and the undereaters, and we're small. And then we have women who undereat but then binge. And they put on a lot of weight, like they've got a lot of body fat to lose. And she was one of those ones, and would always restrictive diet and then end up binge eating and just feeling like she's failing and binge eat, binge eat. Anyway, she's back and she's recovering from her surgery, and she's been messaging me. She's like, oh, Kitty, I'm already like 2 kilos down, and I've been prepping all my food, and I've taken all pictures, and I feel so good. And then I didn't hear from her for a bit, and then she messaged me and going, oh, I sort of stopped weighing, measuring my food, and being as prepared. And then I just realized I've really got to commit to this for a while, and I'm back, you know, tracking again, and I'm feeling so good, and, you know, eating the right amount. I'm losing weight again. And she said, you know, I just have got you in my mind saying consistent, imperfect action, fail forward. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to totally go off the rails like I would usually. I'm just going to get back to my plan. And I was like, oh, I'm so proud of you, you know?
Yeah. That's such a good, I love that you said that to me. You say that to everyone, you know, just fail forward. Just, you know, it's okay where you don't have to feel beaten by it. And because when you have that feeling, you just don't want to return. You don't want to go back. You're like, why bother? What's the point? But if you keep failing forward, like you said, and you get back up, even if you failed four times in a week, but you kept getting back up, in a year, you're going to look back and be like, I was consistent, and you'll see the progress. And that's, I think, that's what's so rewarding about it. But it is, again, we always say it's the long game, you know, and it's not sexy. It's the long game. But what is sexy is the way you look when you get, when you're committed, you know, you start to feel really good about yourself. But I love that. And it's true. I mean, I've been there, and you know, you're going to keep being there. I'm still there. The cool thing is though, the more you measure your food, the more, you know, where you don't even have to sometimes, where you're like,
you know.
I mean, unless you go out and eat and stuff, that's different. Yeah. But, you know, you open your fridge and you know how much, you know, three boiled eggs and a can of oysters is going to, you know where you're at for the day and or for that meal. So, and you know, ChatGPT, I'm finding, is so easy to use to do my calories now more, to give me a breakdown. I just say, like, I had three boiled eggs, a can of oysters, one slice of sourdough with two pats of butter, and a cup of coffee with cream, whatever. And it totally gives you a pretty accurate assessment. As long as you know the size of what you're eating, it can give you a pretty generalized idea.
That's so cool.
So there's no excuses anymore.
And it is, it's actually just being conscious of it too. I think you've got to really be conscious, like, you got to have breakfast, you know, you've got to be conscious about and just making that commitment to yourself, I think. But, and what I wanted to ask you actually is, because I feel like there's a lot, I don't know, maybe I'm just noticing it more on Instagram, but, you know, you have lots of women in your group in their 40s and 50s who are going through perimenopause and menopause, and they're just getting inundated with the message that, like, just take hormone therapy, like, just take estrogen for your symptoms. You know, and we've talked about this a lot, and I think you can actually improve so many of those symptoms with just eating enough food.
Yeah.
Reducing your alcohol intake, eating enough carbohydrates, balancing your blood sugar. Do you want to talk a bit more about that? And progesterone too, instead of taking estrogen. Yeah.
So I have, you know, my Substack is also called Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, like my podcast, but I think you can also find it under Healthy Gut Girl. But I just wrote two articles, really short articles. My articles are always really short, on estrogen. And there's this marketing push to make menopause like an illness.
Yes.
You know, to make the transition like you run out of estrogen and there is nothing you can do about it except take estrogen. That's literally what the message is. That's what these doctors, these doctor influencers are saying to us. They're saying, when you get to this certain age and you go into perimenopause, you basically, they treat it like an illness, and you will run out of hormones. And when you do, unless you get those hormones, you're going to get Alzheimer's, or you're going to go into massive bone loss, and they scare you. What is different about that than the medical model of a pill for every ill? You know, if you get diabetes, if you have if your A1C is off, if you have this or that, if your cholesterol is too high, you have to get on these medications or you're going to die. What's the difference? That marketing strategy is the same in the wellness industry now, practically, certainly in women's hormones. And so I think it's a travesty. It's terrible because, yes, our hormones are going to decline with age. You know, perimenopause starts around, well, these days it's starting a lot sooner, but, you know, your progesterone starts to decline in your late 30s. That's average. And then it exponentially declines after that. And then you, so people say, okay, well then your estrogen declines as well. But we don't know that it doesn't. We have, there's plenty of studies now that show actually it's because the progesterone is no longer there to oppose the estrogen that the estrogen then goes into the tissues. 'Cause that's what estrogen does, right? That's its job. It goes into tissues and it grows things. That's what it does. It grows a fetus. It grows bone. It
Breast
grows
tissue.
tissue. It grows breast tissue. It grows a tumor. It grows. That's its job. It's like, here I go. I'm going into the tissues to do my job. And progesterone goes, hang on a minute, and regulates it, helps to oppose it, helps them, oh, just a little bit there, a little bit not there. You know, it really modulates its action, its mitogenic action. When progesterone declines because of stressors and all the things, that tissue, that estrogen is going to just go, oh, well, I'm not being odd, you know, I'm going to go do my job. And so one of my articles was saying that women who have hormonally related cancers, they're usually in menopause, menopausal women. And so they took the blood work of like 133 women, and most of those women who had cancer had low estrogen in their blood work, but yet they had cancer. And some of them were given estrogen and they still had low levels in their blood work. What does this tell us? This tells us that the estrogen might be low in blood, but why is it growing breast tissue? Why is it growing a tumor? Something's being overlooked here. So I think, you know, it stands to reason, and there's enough data to show that's what's happening. We've got this, estrogen's going into tissue. So that, yeah, did I go off in the weeds?
No, it's perfect because I think, like from Ray's perspectives, like he talks about it being low thyroid and low progesterone. That's why you're experiencing these symptoms because of stress, low blood sugar. I've done some really good podcasts with Kate Deering, and yeah, it's just women are just prescribed estrogen.
Our metabolism, you know, slows down as we get older, and a lot of women who are in perimenopause, a lot of them have had children, and so, you know, their bodies are depleted. And so it's really not natural, but it's common, you know, for this to happen. And so no one's really looking at that perspective. There's no doctors that are saying, hey, let's take a biopsy of your it's invasive too. You don't just want to go in for a checkup and now they're biopsying your breast tissue, or they're biopsying your, you know, the walls of your vagina. So it's tough to look for that, to look for that tissue load of estrogen, but we can kind of assume some things by looking at their symptoms. And, you know, they might have low levels in their blood, but maybe their symptoms are showing estrogen dominance. So why, you know, if we could shift the concept of let's medicate it, let's just give you more estrogen, to let's try to build, let's look at your thyroid, let's try to boost metabolism so that we can get you making hormones again, which is totally possible, you know. Something just popped into my head though, because women are like, well, you know, you work for Onas and you sell progesterone, what gives? Well, I think that there's a place for even for estrogen, actually, sometimes. Like there's 78-year-old women, 85-year-old women who are suffering from, you know, UTIs, and you know, they're not about to change their whole lifestyle. They can't, you know, maybe they've just never had a lifestyle, a pro-metabolic lifestyle ever. They can change their food some, but you know, and so I think there's a place for estrogen. But progesterone doesn't carry the risks with it that estrogen does. So it's safer. And it also, we know that it's thermogenic, it boosts metabolism, it has all these benefits to it, and it's a far safer option. So I look at it more as a supplement than I do, estrogen.
But you're always, I think, really great. Like you never say just take progesterone, it's going to fix everything. You're like, you need to be doing all the basics. You need to be adequately fueled. You need to be nourished. You need to be eating breakfast, getting adequate protein.
And your stressors.
You always say that. So I never think you ever just push it, because you're like, it's pointless taking it if you're not actually supporting your body.
Yeah, I mean, you might get somewhere with it, but you also might get worse because, you're in such demand of cortisol that your body is going to just take that progesterone and make more cortisol, which is fine because if you're in that much demand of cortisol, then you need that cortisol. But you still want to get to the bottom of why you're in such demand of cortisol. And usually it goes back down to this concept of running on emergency hormones, downregulating your thyroid, not making healthy energy in the right way through your fuel, through your nutrient-dense diet. And the stressors, again, we keep talking about the stress. And so, that's when women have the most complications with supplementing progesterone, is when they've done not much else. They're under eating. So, a lot of the questions that your people submitted to you had this through line when I looked at them. They all had this insulin resistance blood sugar component to them. And a lot of women will come in the group and say, I can't take progesterone because it don't it converts to cortisol. Or they'll say, when I take progesterone, I get anxiety, I get heart palpitations, I get, my MACAs gets worse, my, histamine gets worse. They say all these things, or even hot, it doesn't help my hot flashes, when we're like, it does though. But if you look at all of those symptoms, though, all of those symptoms have a adrenaline blood sugar component, a stressors, they have these underlying stressors. And dysregulated blood sugar component to it.
Yeah, it's yeah, 'cause I noticed when I was just looking at the questions, a lady with night sweats in her 30s but regular periods, and I'm like, that's just, I would say, adrenaline and cortisol, having night sweats.
Yeah, I mean, we think it's a low estrogen. They're pushing that as an estrogen fix. And the reason is because estrogen does help control the hypothalamus. So it can have an impact on body temperature and it can regulate body temperature, but it doesn't address the root cause of the actual hot flash, which is, this cortisol blood sugar imbalance and low progesterone. I took some notes for that actually. And I love this. The progesterone actually improves insulin sensitivity. So a lot of women say it makes it worse. I've never had worse insulin resistance than I have since I started progesterone. It makes these things worse for them. And so we have to ask ourselves, like, if progesterone's action actually, scientifically, we know it is there with cortisol to help improve insulin sensitivity, then what's being overlooked, right?
And that was one of the questions, I think. And you said, like, there was a few there on insulin resistance. And I think, like, we have women coming into our program all the time, and a lot of them have gone, oh, I'm just going to cut carbohydrates and sugar, which obviously lowers blood sugar levels. But that's not really the issue, is it? It's the cell's inability to actually utilize or use the glucose. And I think, a lot of them, like, when they come into our program, they're under muscled. So, muscle helps your body utilize glucose better, is like excess fat in the bloodstream. So, a lot of women are eating these high PUFA diets, and also they're stressed. So, like, when cortisol and adrenaline are released, it actually breaks down, fat and puts it into the bloodstream. So it's like, it's, I think that, because I've seen women who aren't overweight have insulin resistance, and they're stressed. They're so stressed. Like, I feel like they don't really realize how much stress, a role stress plays.
That was my issue for a long time. When I first started taking progesterone, I had a panic attack that could only be described as a psychotic episode. I mean, I was like, it was horrifying. And I had my husband there to encourage me to continue to, go with the information that I had been studying on progesterone and just to raise my dose and to, keep going down the same path of, like, I didn't have a choice. I had tried everything. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to raise my dose. This was a 3% cream back in the day when Nat Pro was the product, which is a great product. And And then I had like, it wasn't suicidal ideation. Like I wasn't like, I want to kill myself, but I could see how someone could want that. I was sitting on the edge of my bed and just the sorrow and the despair just overcame me. And I am not that person, you know, but it was, it's hormones. It's the lack of energy. And it creates these feelings in you and create thought. And then if you already have those negative thoughts or you're already living through some major stressors or have PTSD or whatever, it's just going to feed into those thoughts and feelings and that somatic nervous system response to feel unsafe and like, why do I want to be here? And I felt that. I felt those things. I had all the things that the women described. My histamine was out of control at certain points. And so, you know, should you push past that? No, like then I did, I pushed past it and I was better for it. I was up to 800 milligrams of progesterone. We had to budget that into our fit that into our budget because it was like, I was medicating and it helped me, but now I know better. Mm-hmm. Now I know, and I can share this information in the group and say, you know, you can push past it if you want. I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to tell you what to do. You can push past it if you, because some women will say, I stopped bleeding. I passed some clots and now I feel amazing, but I am having these things. So it's up to you. It's your choice. You're an adult. You know, there's plenty of research and data to look through to make your own decision. But now we know that what was going on with me going back to this insulin resistance thing was, you know, I didn't have enough progesterone to help, you know, to prevent the insulin resistance. So the cells were not uptaking. So I was having these responses in my body. And if I would have just eaten that morning, if I would have just started my day fueled, if I would have, you know, managed my stressors better and done all the things we're talking about, I probably wouldn't have had to go up to that 800 milligrams. I probably wouldn't have had to have those, you know, make those mistakes, but I'm glad I did because now I'm able to share that with everyone. And so, you know, ideally you wouldn't push past that. Ideally you would save your money and you would work on your metabolism, boosting, you know, all the things we talk about.
Yeah, I think you're going to get better. If you just do all the metabolic work, then you add some progesterone, you can have way less and get way better results.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Like, and like you say, it doesn't actually fix the underlying root cause of it. So what happens when you come off it? Are you going to take, like you say, 800, 900 milligrams of progesterone a day? Like it would cost you, gee, it must have cost you a lot.
Yeah, it was a 3% at the time too. And I was putting cream on every, you know, and every 30 minutes, which really was really good for stopping bleeding to apply it every 30 minutes. And yeah, I was up to 800 milligrams. I did that for a year, a little over a year. And then I know. And, you know, like there's a lot of women who get benefit from very high dose, but I always say something because your body can't use that. That's the sad part about it. You're putting on, let's say you're putting 1200 milligrams a day of topical progesterone. Your body's not using 1200 milligrams. You're not even, you know, pregnant woman might, but not exogenously because the uptake of progesterone, no matter how you inject it or drink it or sublingual or vaginal, rectal, whatever, it's poor absorption. Progesterone is notorious for being very poorly absorbed. I don't know why. You can literally touch estrogen and it'll absorb. So I don't know why. I think it's the size of the molecule, you know? That's the problem is you're taking all this progesterone, you're not absorbing it. So a lot of times I think the top of the reason why you wouldn't absorb, like, let's just say you are healthily absorbing progesterone, you're probably getting 30%. So imagine 30%, you know, so imagine someone who's poorly absorbing how much they're getting of, you know, 800 milligrams, maybe they're getting 100. Which is very low dose. So that's a lot of money being wasted. But these women are like, I feel so much better. Okay, well, now that you're feeling better, let's dig deeper and figure out what it is. And that the top of that list of poor absorption is slow thyroid.
Yeah.
And it's usually because your skin is dry or the pores are tight,
Yeah.
cold, it's
Yeah.
not warm, lots of PUFA in the skin, lots of iron in the skin, histamine. All these things are going to prevent absorption. And then, of course, up there, Dr. Katarina Dalton would say adrenaline. You
Yeah.
can't absorb one molecule of progesterone if you have adrenaline in the system.
I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I just want to jump in quickly and talk a little bit more about our 28-day Rebuild Your Metabolism Challenge. So if you're new here or you've been following me for a while and you've heard me talk about the RYM method, but you haven't jumped in, the 28-day challenge is the perfect way to kickstart your transformation and experience what the RYM method is all about. In 28 days, you're going to learn how to nourish your body, build muscle and strength, lose stubborn body fat, and restore your metabolism using sustainable strategies, all tailored for women over 40. The challenge is designed to show you that real results don't come from deprivation or cutting carbs or fasting or doing endless hours of cardio and HIIT classes. They actually come from fueling your body with pro-metabolic foods, carbohydrates, and building muscle through effective strength training, and then creating sustainable habits that actually work. You're going to learn how to eat more, eat carbs, train smarter, and feel amazing while seeing real progress in 28 days. So if you've been searching for a program that actually works, this is your chance to see how incredible you can feel when you fuel your body and train with intention. So once you sign up, you're going to be invited to the 28-day community platform, which also has the course materials and instructions on how to get set up with our app. So every day, Craig and I spend time answering questions in the community, and we help coach you through the entire process of what to eat, how much to eat, and how to exercise to restore your metabolism, build muscle, and lose body fat sustainably, all while using the new Strength Tracker app to track your progress, your training, and your nutrition. You can jump on our weekly live coaching calls to ask questions and get personalized coaching, or just reach out in the community at any time and ask questions. The calls are recorded and saved to the course materials. So if you can't make it live, don't worry, you can always watch the replays and you get lifetime access to the course materials. We're going to teach you how to set realistic body composition goals, not just weight loss goals, how to set macronutrient targets specific to your goals, and build your own pro-metabolic meal plans. We also have recipe books, meal plan examples, and food lists. We're going to help you customize a training program that fits how many days a week you can train, how long you can train for, what equipment you have access to, and any injuries. And don't worry, we cover everyone. So whether you have zero experience training, you've never set foot in a gym, to you're an advanced lifter that may be potentially not seeing the results that you want. So I'm going to pop a link in the show notes with all the details, and let's get back to the podcast.
So now we've got that. So there's a lot of reasons why someone might not be able to absorb. And it can be overwhelming, but if you just put your pro-metabolic glasses on, you won't get overwhelmed by all that. You'll be like, okay, let's go back to the basics here. What did I eat for breakfast? Did I eat enough this morning? Am I trying to catch up? I'm halfway through my day and I'm trying to catch up with my calories. That's not good.
Yeah, I know. What another question, actually, which I get asked a lot, but also is like three people have asked in here about my testosterone is low. And, often women ask me, and I remember actually when you did our program, remember you got all your hormone levels tested and then you got them tested again? Talk about that, because I think,
So I have always had, okay, one thing I want to say is, the Dutch test, when you look at in a woman's Dutch complete, you'll see the dials at the top of the page and it says estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. And the progesterone and the estrogen both have a little purple section at the beginning of the dial that shows the peri or postmenopausal ranges. So it shows you if you're postmenopausal, this is the normal range that you should be in, right? And then you can go below that and be even below postmenopausal ranges. And that's for estrogen and progesterone. Testosterone doesn't have that gauge. It doesn't have postmenopausal range. Why? Because you can make testosterone well into your aged years. You can make testosterone and be 95 years old. Why? Because your body needs it. It wants it. It can make it. Now, it can also make progesterone and estrogen, but just in those lower ranges. So it's not saying that you should be you should have nothing. It says, yeah, you can, a healthy 60-year-old woman should be in this range and she should be making this much. But testosterone, there's no range. Like you could literally just keep making testosterone. So that tells us that what does it require? It requires cholesterol. It requires healthy, stable blood sugar. It requires liver support and a healthy, running, functioning liver. And it requires exercise, fresh air, breathing. Oh, wait, this sounds like a pro-metabolic lifestyle. It requires building muscle, especially. And so we can make testosterone. So to answer your question, I've always had low testosterone because I've always been adrenaline dominant. I was popped out of my mother's womb a month early because I was adrenaline dominant. I was like, get out of here. What do I do? You know, give it to me. How do I do it? Let's go. Let's have fun. And not good. Funny, but not good. And so I've been that way my whole life. So I was running on, you know, being underfed and not mate. And testosterone's the first one that'll go as well. So women are like, my hair's falling out. My nails aren't growing. My skin is crap. And it's because all that stuff gets put on the back burner when you don't have energy. It's just like, all right, let's prioritize. It tries to digest your food, but that even becomes a secondary function. Let's just stay alive. Let's just stay safe. Let's stay protected. Let's manage our stressors that are in front of us. Let's use our brain function, just the monkey brain. Let's just do what's in front of us. And if you live your life like that, your body doesn't want to make babies. It doesn't want to make muscle. It doesn't want to digest its food. So that's the whole story to me about testosterone. I know it's simplified and there's a lot more complexity to it with your androgens and your DHEA and all the things, but I think ultimately what it comes down to is, are you making ATP properly all day, every day, or are you making adrenaline and taxing your adrenals? Which is it?
I think, it's interesting. I've talked to Kate about it and she says the exact same thing. We've had a conversation about it in one of our Win at Life. Like we did like a workshop on it too. And I think, you know, women, like they'll say, oh, I'm doing all the things, but I'm like, they're not really doing all the, like, it's so easy to say I'm doing all the things, but it does actually take, you know, like consistency with eating enough and lowering stress and alcohol. And alcohol's another one, I think, as well. Like so many women drink too much alcohol as well.
I did for sure.
Yeah. It's the other thing I was going to say too is because we talk about energy deficiency, and I think there is times when it's nutrient deficiency too. So like women that are very overweight that are eating too much energy, but they're eating too much food that doesn't have the nutrients that they need, under eating protein, you know, so they're overweight, you know, they might be 45% body fat. So it's not an energy deficiency, but it's, they still have the same issues like hair falling out, same perimenopausal, because it's, you know, they're eating a lot, but they're eating a lot of food, not enough protein, not nutrient dense foods. You know, they're eating lots of takeaway, binging, processed junk foods, polyunsaturated fats.
I always say they're overeating the wrong kind of foods and undereating the right kind of foods.
Yeah.
Which is something I was really good at. And that's the downside to also being thin most of my life, is you just don't think you have an issue, you know, until you do. And didn't realize and didn't make that connection. But yeah, so many women are starving themselves, even though they're eating a lot. They're starving themselves. It's a slow starvation process of, you know, not getting adequate nutrients. Definitely.
Yeah. And I think just the diets, like women think, what was I watching the other night? Sex in the City, I think it was. And Miranda's had the baby and she's trying to lose weight. And she goes into the bookstore and she gets some fucking diet book. And she goes up to the counter and the lady's like, whispers to her, don't get that book. I lost 20 pounds and then gained 42 pounds more. Like, you know, and I think it's the foods that we think are necessary, like what we have to do to lose weight. So drastically cut calories. We need to cut out women are so afraid to eat carbohydrates, sugar, orange juice, fruit. And then they go on these crazy restrictive diets and they're like, oh, I can't do it. Well, of course you can't do it, because it's so unenjoyable. and you just end up craving sugar and falling off the wagon. You get stuck in this cycle of binge, restrict, binge, restrict, binge, restrict. And when they, you know, so many of them come into our program and, you know, we set their calories so they're eating enough food, eating in a small calorie deficit, building muscle. These are the ones that need to lose body fat. And then they're eating all of these. They're like, oh my God, I'm drinking orange juice and eating fruit and homemade ice cream and potatoes and rice and sourdough bread. They're like, I feel so satisfied and nourished. So I don't have these cravings to go and eat packets of chips and tubs of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. So I think it's just so many women are, yeah, they just think that they should be eating heaps of nuts and seeds and almond milk and salads.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying that you should never eat salad. But it's like, don't just eat meat and salad, you know?
Yeah. You know, again, in the group, I'll have, you know, like the sugar post or whatever. And someone will say, and somebody will say, I get so sick when I eat sugar. So you can do it, but I'm never going to do it. I had to quit it. My life has changed so much and my joints ache, my this, my that. And then, you know, when I have time, I'm like, well, what do you mean by sugar?
Yeah.
And that is when you're like, oh, so it's not just sugar, is it? And, you know, joint pain, all of these symptoms she described could easily be attributed to any of the things that she was eating that not only contained sugar, but contained gluten, contained glyphosate, contained, you know, stabilizers. And, preservatives. And she answered, she said, yeah, you know, like bread and cookies or whatever. And I'm like, that's not sugar. That's not sugar. Just sugar.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah. And some people will say, no, when I eat, just put like a teaspoon of sugar in my tea, I have an issue. And I'm like, do you?
Oh, I know.
But maybe, you know, you can have an issue with it. Water, you know, but it's less common. The thing is when people say I quit eating sugar, it's like that whole thing I always say when I was doing the body ecology diet, you know, I was like doing so good, you know, my gut was better. I was doing all these things and I felt so much better doing all of the body ecology diet, which is like 80% alkaline, which you know what that means. That means veggies and juicing and all this like detox stuff. Meanwhile, I had severe oxalate issues, severe histamine responses to all of these different things. I was eating way too many fermented foods. I love fermented foods, but I was eating way too many. And I kept saying to myself, this is a detox. And I have like welts. My husband and I went to Kauai together on vacation and my back was covered. My whole back of my torso was covered with welts. And my friends were like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? I was like, I'm detoxing. I was doing celery juice. I was drinking, I mean, as many oxalates and raw veggie juicing that I could possibly, gallons, sometimes a gallon a day.
That's incredible.
Incredible. And I thought and my skin looked great. I was hydrated. I lost all the bumps on the backs of my arms. There was all these things that were going well. Meanwhile, miscarrying, bleeding out, insomnia. You know, I was, you know, in my late 30s and I was having hot flashes. I was like, it was just so the whole point, my point is, you know, when you quit doing something, like, you know, is it really the diet that's helping you? Or was it the body ecology diet that was helping me? Or was it because I stopped eating fast food and eating whatever the heck I wanted and under eating all day and all those things? So when someone becomes vegan and they're like, it changed my life.
Yeah.
Well, tell me what you were eating before you became vegan. And then you're like, whoa, okay, well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when someone says, when I quit sugar,
they don't really,
got healthier.
No one was ever going, oh, I was eating 10 cups of white sugar a day.
Right.
I was eating so much fruit, you know? Yeah. But you don't, because I was uneducated too. You know, I did the same thing.
Me too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so I just want to say this because I feel like some people listen to us and go, oh, but you guys say that you should never eat green vegetables or nuts. We're not saying that. Not saying that. Like, it's just don't only eat that shit. Like, have a balanced diet. Like, make that, you know, for example, like I used to eat these for lunch, you know, the skinny Kate Moss salad. You'd have heaps of spinach. I'd have asparagus, green capsicums. I didn't eat red capsicums because it was too high in sugar. What the fuck? You know, like avocado, chicken breast, grilled chicken breast, you know, like lemon
And
juice
some
all over
sparkling
it.
water and
Yeah,
a
exactly.
cigarette.
Yeah. And it's
That's the
like,
Kate Moss
oh no, I'd
diet.
just smash almonds for afternoon tea. I'd have tins of tuna with flaxseed oil on it and
Oh,
green
wow.
beans. You know, big white fish with big steamed cabbage. You know, it's not like now, like I'll have a salad, but it's a side salad. So I have a nice piece of protein, you know, or like lamb shanks or fish or seafood, some really, you know, carbohydrates. So like potatoes or white rice, butter,
Yeah.
fruit juice, coconut water. And then I'll have
I,
like salad on the side as the
yeah.
garnish, you know, and you might
Yeah.
have a sprinkling of nuts on a salad or something in as a garnish, or you know, kimchi. Like Craig loves kimchi. We have like a little
Me
side
too.
dish of kimchi, you know. We have that sometimes. It's not, but we don't eat 10 kilos of the shit every day,
Right.
you know.
I mean, I'm a big sauce person, so I like to make sauces.
Oh,
And I have a
sauce.
friend coming over tonight, and
Yeah.
I'm making a salad. I'm making a Caesar salad. It's like a Caesar salad, but I'm using a
Yum.
pesto, and I'm
Yum.
making chicken breast and Japanese yams. But
Yum.
the pesto is a pumpkin seeds and basil. And of course, tons of olive oil, garlic, and lemon juice, because I love the flavor,
Sounds
but it's
incredible.
not my staple. You
That's
know, it's not a
why.
staple for
Yeah.
me.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the thing
It's
that I think
a,
where people go wrong. And they
yeah.
go, oh, you guys promote no veg. I'm like, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's the vegetable, like they should be, and you're having a small serving of, you're not having, like, I used to eat jars of that bloody nut butter. Yeah, ABC, by the way, this
Right.
stuff ABC, it was almond, Brazil, and cashew butter. I'd eat, you know, like, yeah.
It is tasty though, but
Yeah.
yeah, I mean it's
Yeah.
oxidative,
It's too much fat.
oxidized, and oxidized. So the minute you crush a nut, the minute that you crush it, that air hits that nut, and that oil begins quickly to oxidize and become rancid. And that not only is a PUFA, it's a carcinogen. So nut butters are the worst possible. You know, will I still have a teaspoon on a cup of, I mean, on a piece of toast once in a
Yeah,
while? Sure.
yeah,
If I'm out, you know, I'm traveling, I'm not going to
yeah.
be a Nazi about it,
No,
but you got to know, you got
yes,
to
and
know
it's the
how bad that
frequency.
is.
Because I think what happens is these women that, like me, they're eating nuts every day, and a lot of them, they're eating
Yeah.
a ton of undercooked green raw vegetables. They're not drinking dairy. They're not getting enough fruit in their diet. You know, they're having too much polyunsaturated fats. Again, it's not, you know, like we go out here all the time, and like they use vegetables here, but I don't worry about it because I'm like, it's not like I'm eating out every day, 3 meals a day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't worry about it. It's,
Right. You have to
yeah.
be, especially once you've kind of, if you're sick, if you're really sick,
Yeah.
it matters.
Yes,
Everything
yes.
you put in your mouth is going to have an impact and could potentially be contributing to making you feel worse. But when you have, when you stabilized yourself, you know, it's not going to kill you to have a couple margaritas, but you got to know what it costs you to do that. You
Yeah,
have to
you gotta
know.
eat. You gotta eat
You got to
too. You gotta be
eat,
well
you got to pay
fueled.
back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but also the green veggie part, like I crave them. I do. I crave broccoli, like well-cooked broccoli. I crave, the other day I was really craving cauliflower. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, probably Ray Pete would say I'm deficient in other nutrients. And because those are in my sort of programmed memory of what I enjoyed from vegetables, I crave those things. Maybe that's true. Or maybe there really is something in broccoli that my body does utilize because it's cooked well enough. I'm sure it does. Like when you cook kale well enough, you know, there's calcium in there. So I like you said, what's your staple diet? And it should be, you know, nutrient dense foods that you can digest. And that's the other thing that you need to work on. I think that's the most important thing, actually, because when I started the pro metabolic diet, I couldn't do, remember, I was even
Yeah, the
just the
dairy,
last time
yeah.
you talked, I couldn't do dairy. And now I'm doing 2% milk every day. I
Oh,
mean, I'll
good.
go through a gallon in, you know, like 4 days. And I couldn't do that even just, and you said, Kitty, if you eat enough and you are consistent with your walking and your workouts, you're going to be able to digest the dairy eventually. And you were certain of that. And I can't do whole milk too. I can totally drink whole milk, but there's so much fat in whole milk.
Yes, yeah, exactly. If you're drinking a lot of it, it just puts you, and that's another thing with women too, like it's importance of tracking the calories because it's so easy. Oh, I drink all this milk and ice cream, and it's like it just the fats adds up too quickly and you gain a ton of weight. So you do
Oh
have to be
man, I love it.
I
I
know.
love the whole milk, the raw
It is
milk.
yummy.
And they don't sell 2% raw milk, unfortunately. So, but yeah, when you start off, and we talk about this in the group all the time, and you and I have talked about it, and don't want to beat a dead horse here, but you have to start off with things you can digest because you
Totally.
can't just be like, okay, Kitty Bloomfield and
Yeah,
Kitty
said I'm
Marcone
gonna.
said,
Yeah, I'm
so
gonna.
I'm going to eat, a bunch of sugar and I'm
Yeah.
just going to start, which is funny because that's what I did.
Yeah.
Right? That's
Yeah.
exactly what I did. And I was like, oh, and it like set off the eczema in my foot that I don't get anymore as much. It just set off all these things. I'm like, I hate this diet. Of course, I'm going to hate the diet and I'm going to blame Kate Deering,
Yeah.
and you. But I understood, you have to pick it apart. You have to comb through it and be like, okay, what am I overlooking? Like with the progesterone, what's being overlooked? We know progesterone does not have the ability to cause anxiety. It's an anxiolytic. We know progesterone doesn't have the ability to grow masses. We know dairy is filled with, it's one of the most nutrient-rich, balanced foods. So why are these things doing this to me? Could it be me? And not feel gaslit and not feel like you're being told that you're dumb or you're not able to do it. No, we're
Yeah.
just saying, look deeper, look
Oh, and
deeper.
I think too, like with the dairy thing, like we get a lot of clients too, and I was the same. I was like diagnosed with lactose intolerance. I was 12 by some naturopath. So my mum fed me soy, almond milk, shit, soy, it was horrible. I drank that right till I met Emma at 34. And it was a gradual process of like, changing my diet and taking out some of the, like the shit tons of green. I still ate vegetables, but just switching the ratio so more to these, the orange juice and the ripe fruits and potatoes and, the meats. And then, we gradually introduced some hard cheese and then gradually introduced milk and built up. And then now I can just eat dairy with no problem, So, yeah, for some people, it's just you've got to go slow and start where you're at, I think, and just go slow. That's okay. Yeah.
Totally. In fact, I think it's better. It's part of that long game, The worst thing to do is to it like doing a diet, you get on it, you're all in, you jump in,
Yeah.
and then you burn out and you
Yeah.
hate that diet, and then you go online and you complain about how bad that diet is.
Yeah. And I think too,
So,
like, and maybe that's where people get confused. Do you think like there's no such thing as like the repeat diet? Hey, I sort of think about it like the bioenergetic approach or a pro-metabolic approach where it's like, I feel like it's balance. Like we said, like I still eat vegetables, I made this yummy broth the other day with like we make chicken feet broth over here because you can get chicken feet. You can't get oxtails or lamb necks, but make this. Yeah, the chicken broth feet is good though. It's really good. It's so gelatinous, and I just make this really simple soup with bok choy, carrots, onion, some broccoli, chili, ginger, garlic, and the broth. And it takes oh, and rice noodles too. It takes for like 5 minutes on chicken. I had chicken to it.
That sounds
I have that
amazing.
with the veg, and they're not really well cooked. Like they're just cooked for 5 minutes and it's fine. Like again, it's not, but I don't eat green vegetables at every meal and plates of green vegetables and nuts and seeds. Like we said
Yeah,
before,
green
it's
smoothies.
yeah. Sometimes I'll eat some peanut butter. Like say to clients, all right, if you want to have some peanut butter every now and then, have some peanut butter. Don't just have jars of it every day.
I mean, a serving size of peanut butter. I think Craig was the one who said this. He's like, is a serving size is like a tablespoon for the day. And people are eating like they're putting like quarter cups, half a cup of eating that every day.
It's
Yeah,
great.
it's just a learning process, and you're right. There is no repeat diet at
Yeah.
all. There is no, because what's in my diet, my repeat diet, is not the things that are in yours. You know,
No.
like there are things that I just can't do. I can't do orange juice. I never
Yeah.
have been, not since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
I've not been able to do it. And it's probably a histamine thing that I still am dealing with, probably on some level. And that's just it. So I had this glass of guava juice, which has more vitamins and minerals and nutrients
We
than
get guava
orange juice.
juice over
How,
here. It's
oh, I
beautiful.
bet it's so fresh
So
too.
fresh. It's
But
incredible.
it's missing the naringenin.
Yeah. Okay.
Or
The Nuringen.
so, yeah, and maybe one other thing, but actually, in every other way, it's actually more
Nutrient dense. We've got more vitamin
nutrient
C.
dense.
Hey.
Yeah,
Yeah.
more vitamin C,
Yeah.
and it's delicious. And so, I'll put a little sparkling water in it, and it's like a
Oh.
cocktail. It's so good. But
Can you eat oranges? Or is it just orange?
no,
Nah, same.
and
Oh,
I love
that sucks. I love
oranges.
oranges too. And I love, they have the best orange juice here. It's so sweet, always
Oh, I
ridiculously
bet.
sweet. But you're right.
I
It's not.
keep trying. I keep trying. You know, I get healthier, I get stronger, and I keep trying to do it. And then, but some, unfortunately, it'll set me back if I'm not careful. You know, like the first thing that'll happen is it'll trigger my eczema, which is in one location on my foot, and it'll trigger that. And then it takes me so much carrot salad. So that tells you right there, it's a gut issue. You know, it takes so much carrot salad for me to get that to go away. And that's a, you know, an endotoxin issue. That's a histamine clearance issue. And carrot salad helps with that. So, and nettles, I love nettle infusions so much. Yeah, I make like nettle sun tea with chamomile, and it's just
Oh,
like the
yum.
best. And
Or
that,
chamomile tea.
yeah, and it's so good for any kind of histamine responses in the body. So,
And you're right. It's about finding, like, Craig's, he's always, his digestion is his thing. Like, if he's stressed
right.
and if he can't eat a lot of sourdough, like, sporadically, he'll eat, if he eats too much, you know, I eat it every day. I have a slice every day. I bloody love sourdough. I
Yeah.
love orange
Do
juice
you
too. Oh my
make
God.
it?
Nah. I just buy it. I found this good bakery, not a bakery, but a cafe. They do fresh sourdough every day,
Oh,
like loaves.
nice.
I picked up a loaf this morning and it's awesome. With the
Nice.
jam and butter. Oh my God, it's so good. But yeah, Craig just, I feel sorry for him. His digestion isn't as resilient as mine. And he just, like you,
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
he just, and rice, white rice, if he eats too much white rice as well, which is weird.
FODMAP maybe. The fructo oligosaccharides or whatever. Like some people just don't have the capacity to break them down, you
Yeah,
know?
so he just
And
eats potatoes.
yeah. I mean, what was I going to say about, oh, I've made sourdough in the past, but I finally started to commit to kind of like doing it. It's honestly like
It's not
learning
that
to play
hard.
an
Hey.
instrument. No, I think it is.
Go, well, I think
I
once
mean,
you
you
nail
know
it,
what it
though.
is? Yeah, it's the
Yeah.
commitment of, you
Commitment, the
know, of
time.
attending to it. It's like a pet you have to like.
Yeah.
And so I'm in that place right now, but there's this thing I'm doing now. I'm sure you've seen it, where you can take like cold butter and stick it
I've
into like my
seen it,
carrot
and it's
salad
a,
grater
and
and
it's
fold it
a,
in.
it's a, it's,
Croissant
oh my
sourdough
God.
loaf.
I said that to Craig that I was like, fuck, we need to make this. I was like, this looks
Yes.
ridiculous. Oh
So
my
I
God.
made it, but I had added my salt too soon, so it was a very tight loaf, you
Was
know,
it
there
good
wasn't a ton
though?
of air in it. The crust was incredible. It was just
Oh.
like a croissant and sourdough loaf had a baby. But this next time, which I'm going to do tomorrow, because you know, it takes like 2 days to totally complete the process, and then you got to feed your starter like a pet. And so yeah, I'm gonna try it the correct way every time you learn something new. And yeah, I totally want to make it properly.
Yeah,
It's
yum. Oh
easy
my
to
God.
overeat.
Oh yeah, of course, the fat. The fat's just so a woman messaged me today. She's like, "Oh my God, I've tracked my food." I was like, she's like, "It's so crazy how much fat I'm eating. I just didn't even realize. No wonder I'm not losing weight, you
Yeah,
know?"
that
But you
that's
just don't
me. Yeah.
realize.
And mine goes right to my belly, right to directly. It doesn't go anywhere else. Yeah, I was trying to see if there was anything here. I had written some notes, and some of the things were like really good. Progesterone supports healthy liver function, ensuring that glucose is properly stored as glycogen. That was one of the notes that I felt like, rather than being converted into excess fat. So again, I know I'm all over the map, but progesterone supports healthy liver function. Like that's something I learned in the last, I've been studying progesterone for 8 years. No,
It's a long time.
11 years. 11 years, because I started my group after I started my research, and the group is 10 years old. And I'm only just learning this in the last year. Progesterone supports healthy liver function. That's crazy. So many people are like, I can't take progesterone because it's a burden on my liver. It's not. Ensuring that glucose is properly stored as glycogen rather than being converted into excess fat or causing wild blood sugar swings. So when we talk about waking up in the middle of the night, that is a wild blood sugar swing because you didn't have enough glycogen stored in your liver from the morning when you woke up to fuel your body. And then you ended up running on fumes basically by the time you went to bed, even if you had carbohydrates before bed, even if you had a healthy meal before bed, and then you go to bed and you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pee. This is why. Not enough glycogen, low progesterone, high cortisol, or even bottomed out cortisol if you've had it long enough. And high estrogen. That was the main note I wanted to throw in
No,
there.
it's perfect. And I notice it too. Like, if I don't eat enough during the day, if I don't eat enough carbs and enough, like, I just don't, I wake up at 2, 3 a.m. Yeah, it's so,
Yeah.
yeah.
And if you're like me, if you're a hyper person, if you tend to be easily triggered, like easily stressed out, easily, I mean, I'm not that bad anymore, but I still lean towards that. When like if Charlie and I get into a fender bender, I'm like, oh my God, and he's like, oh, but like I tend to be that person. If you operate up there naturally, just your personality type, you need more carbohydrates than the average person. You need more fuel. And that doesn't mean, you need more sourdough, but it does mean you need more healthy carbohydrates. You need to fuel that demand of energy. Yeah.
And muscle. Everyone needs more muscle. Every woman. Just so many women that come into our program that suffer with, like, they're like, I can't lose weight. Like, well, you need more muscle. You need to build more muscle. Just helps you so much. Helps with insulin resistance.
Yeah. And you get into menopause. It's really hard once you're in menopause to try to back up and do the things that, just going and lifting weights is not that easy anymore. You risk injury easier, and recovery can be longer. And I'm again not that bad. But I was, and so yeah. I'm just thinking about something you had said earlier with the testosterone and how the tests that I had taken. I didn't really answer
Oh, yeah,
that,
sorry,
but
yeah. But you got them done
the
after,
end
and
of
you,
that,
yeah, in Georgia,
yeah.
you got them, and you were like, oh my God, I've made more hormones.
So that was ultimately the lesson there was that I had just entered menopause and I had just gotten off all my hormones to take those tests, but I had started your program and I was only in it for a short time. But I had been doing the pro-metabolic eating and I had been lifting weights. I just hadn't been doing your program yet. And so there I was getting my blood work done again. And I had testosterone, normal levels for my age. Shocker. I had estrogen was fine. It was just too high in my tissues. It was like 100 times higher, but the fact that I was making estrogen, but I'm talking about my blood labs. I had done blood labs again. And in my blood labs, I showed normal levels for my age. That is crazy. And I wasn't taking progesterone. And now, and a year ago, I should do my labs again. A year ago, I was in this course with a friend who started, he wanted me to join with them. And one of the things you have to do is get all your labs done ahead of time, including your magnesium, your lipid panel, your iron panel, all of it, C-reactive protein, all those things. Out of this group of 20 people, him included, he and I had the best blood labs. My inflammatory markers were down. My magnesium was in range. My vitamin D was in range. Everything was in range. My cholesterol was actually, I always have notoriously high cholesterol, but it was not as high, but it was still high, which I prefer. I was like, this is incredible. Who would have known after all the years of trying to get myself into range like that?
It's,
Yeah,
isn't it
so let's see
crazy?
how long it lasts. Let's see how long the not being on hormones lasts.
It's crazy. Just you got to eat, be consistent with the food. It just helps so much. Do you think that,
Walking.
walking. We've covered quite a lot, I think, from
Yeah,
the
hour
questions. Do you
and
think?
15 minutes. I think so, yeah.
It's like really 9:45 p.m. It's way past my bedtime.
Oh,
I'm gonna
I'm
go and have some
flattered
ice
that
cream
we're
now.
nice.
Yeah, some chocolate ice cream before I go to bed.
That sounds
Be
amazing.
good.
I've been doing like a vanilla milk at night with my
Oh,
sugar. I
yum.
know.
That sounds yum.
Yeah, there was some other questions, but I think we covered most of them. Melasma, there's a melasma
Oh,
question.
yeah.
Melasma, I had terrible melasma, and you can I mean, not anymore, but I had, I think I told you I had like the
Yeah, I
shape of
remember.
Africa on my forehead. And progesterone made it much, much worse at first. I rubbed it right into the melasma, and then it like 85% took it away. And then, but it still was there. I still had to use makeup to cover it if I wanted to do photos or whatever. Very faint. But then I started the Saturé and the face cream, and then it was completely gone. Like now you bare, like it's, I don't even think you can see it at all. And I think that it's about PUFA, iron, and estrogen in the skin. That's what I think melasma is. And I think when you get on the, if you've been on the birth control pill, that lends itself to more estrogen in tissues. And so I think that worsens it. Yeah, that was my experience. I've known a lot of people who've had success with, lightening it in by do, through nutrition and through not in getting rid of PUFA. But yeah, I mean, I don't know the science behind that, but that's my guess. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I know. I remember you telling me like it's gone. Like I was like amazing. Yeah, your skin
I
looks
know you
amazing.
can't.
No, you
I
can't
have
see it at
this
all.
light on, you can't see anything, right?
No, I can't see anything. Yeah, good
It's
one.
wild.
It is wild. Well, thanks so much for coming on. It's
Thanks for
always good to
having me
catch up.
again.
We bloody talked for
Yes.
an hour and a half before we even did the podcast.
I know. I
We haven't
know.
had a catch up for a while.
Yeah. It
Yeah.
was so good to see
I
you.
know, so good to see you. And as always, everyone, take a screenshot of the podcast and share it on Instagram stories and tag me at KITTYBLOMFIELD. You can tag Kitty as well. She's Healthy Gut Girl. And then
Healthy
I'll
Gut
put
Girl official.
official, sorry, I'll put all the links anyway to her stuff in the show notes and Anya's as well. We'll give you a discount code for that too. I think my discount code's Kitty20. I think I'll go and have a look, but I'll put it in there in so you can try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Or it's Kitty, but I'll have a look.
It might be Kitty.
Yeah, I think so. But I'll put all the links in the show notes. And yeah, thanks so much, Kitty. And I will be back again next week.
Alrighty.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KITTYBLOMFIELD. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.